Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast for the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. The WWE finally releases referee Nunzio. Is this really news?
It's a sad, sad day for America when Nunzio doesn't have a job anymore.
And did you know that he's taking bookings now as a referee and as a wrestler?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's versatile. I mean, being a ref, I know people think that it's you just count, but I mean, they do so much in the ring. But, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate that he got released. My guess, he probably just rubbed people the wrong way. I don't think that this was a, you know, like a money thing. It wasn't monetary. I think that they just didn't want him there anymore.
I'm wondering if he just didn't want to work with the ring crew, because that's what the referees mostly do. They set up the ring and do a couple other things. Maybe he just wasn't fit for it. Maybe he was still thinking wrestler opposed to referee.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so. Maybe. But this is an interesting note that Jimmy Uso was arrested for a DUI. What is the deal with this? Why wasn't his brother driving?
Well, this happened last week, and we didn't report on it because we wanted to get more information. And so that's why it wasn't in our lineup, because it happened on Thursday, late Thursday, if I'm correct. And we wanted to wait to see exactly what happened. And, you know, basically it's just a DUI. That's what it is. So I don't know. I mean, WWE doesn't care about DUIs. And so he probably will have a slap on the wrist.
Is this wrong, though? I mean, shouldn't they do something? Shouldn't they make almost an example out of him? You know, is it time yet? Because this seems like there's a lot of DUIs going around lately.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really think that they should have made an example out of Alex Riley. You know, we talked in great length about it, you know, about basically imbibing and, you know, going for a drive. And then them making a joke out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that personally I think they should take a stand on. Not fire him. I don't think they should fire him, but suspend him. Suspend him for 30 days, which is a slap on the wrist. Right. Suspend him for 30 days. And then let people know, if you do this, even if you're main eventer, we will do this to you. Yeah, what I would do personally.
Yeah, I completely agree. So Great Khali is done with the WWE, and I don't think anyone really cares. Everyone's happy about it. He was wasted. He was just there. He's going to go back to his home country and start a bunch of movies. And he'll probably fail at that, too.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to end up happening.
I mean, he just wrote his contract out. You know, I'm happy he's going to go back to where he's from and where he doesn't need to learn how to say kick, punch, take it home, you know, because those are so hard to learn. So, what do you think, Aaron?
I do not care about him. It's not – look, Big Show at least can wrestle halfway decent for a big man. Great Khali could not wrestle his way out of a paper bag, and it's kind of sad. It really is. So I don't care. The only thing I really care about is that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he took up TV time as the world heavyweight champion. And then him and Triple H had a feud because Triple H wanted to make himself look bigger. So he, I don't want to say hurt wrestling, but he didn't need to be there.
Well, you know, Triple H did beat the best in the world, you know, according to CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Triple H's ego, which, you know, we will talk about a little later. But before we talk about his ego, Hulk Hogan has reportedly re-signed with TNA.
You mean Impact Wrestling?
No, he's re-signed with TNA, the company.
With TNA. So that means he hasn't signed with Impact Wrestling just yet. But
the name of the company is TNA. Then the name of the program is Impact Wrestling, Andy.
Okay. So Hogan is going to be around for much longer, unfortunately, which is kind of sad because you think that
it's almost like you want to see him go for a while. Like, take 6 months off, then come back. It's getting kind of annoying seeing him on TV all the time. And, you know, it's great for him because the taping schedule is so easy on him. But come on, I'm sick and tired of seeing him. He can't wrestle. No one wants to see that anymore.
You're right about that. The only thing that he has going in his favor is being the heel. You have people who can get over by stepping on you, you know, using you as a stepping stone, which is really great because Hogan's a heel. And then let's say, I don't know, Robert Roode, he's trying to get over. And so they have him face Hogan. He goes over on Hogan. Robert Roode now is a star. He is a made man because he beat Hulk Hogan, which is a big deal, you know. So that's – but they can't have him wrestle. And so, you know, he has to take the authority role, being the heel that way and getting over by, you know, putting Robert Roode in a very, you know, precarious situation where he should not be able to overcome this, but he does. And so they get Robert Roode over that way.
Okay. Right.
So that's why, you know, he is kind of good for wrestling, but I don't know. I think TNA might be better without him. I really do think that. So hopefully after Bound for Glory, you know, something big will happen.
Oh, yeah. So if you didn't know, but there was another pay-per-view, Hell in the Cell. And, yeah, another pay-per-view. Another pay-per-view. So what we're trying to figure out right now is, why is Christian getting buried? It's just that no matter whatever he does, they keep burying him and burying him. Does this mean that he's going to end up going back to Impact Wrestling then? Because that's kind of what I think is going to happen here now.
I think he'll go back to TNA. Yeah, I really do. I think that they don't have a good story for him going right now. He is the number two heel on SmackDown. And they've turned him into a whiny baby. Like, you can have, like, Mark Henry is a heel right now. He is a heel who wants to destroy people's careers. You know, that's what he wants to do. He is a devastating heel. He doesn't win by cheat means. He wins. He just wins. You know, he beat Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell cleanly, you know? But Christian is a whiny heel. He's not a good heel. He's a bad, bad heel. And I think that they ruined him by turning him into a heel. I really do. I think that he should have stayed a face because as a heel, he's sucking it up right now. He's been a good heel in the past, but not right now.
No, I completely agree, dude. I don't understand this. I almost wish that somehow, some way, he would just get the title back or somehow face Mark Henry in a triple threat and then basically have someone beat up Mark Henry real bad, have him sneak in the ring, get the 1-2-3, grab the title, run away, he's a champion. I wish something like that would happen almost, but it's just sad. It's really sad. But so Cody Rhodes did something that we never expected, but he brought back the old IC title. I'm surprised about this because it's a new one with the, of course, the new WWE logo on it. But the weird part was the what do you call them, the plates on the belt? They all had the WWE logo on all four of them, which I thought was weird because usually those have the four parts of the world on it, which I thought was kind of interesting why they didn't do that. But I'm almost wondering if this was a last minute decision or something they just decided on like they usually do. I mean, do you think they took time on this one, or do you think it just kind of happened?
I think they took a little bit of time because this gives Cody a little bit of credibility, and it gives him some in-ring time because he gets to show off the new Intercontinental title, which is kind of a big deal. I think it looks pretty cool. I like it. It's very distinguished from the world title then, which I think is important, and it's very distinguished from the U.S. title. And this makes it a little interesting. And the reason I say that is because it makes me wonder if they are looking at combining the titles. Like, and I know that I might be grasping for straws here, but I wonder if they're looking at combining, and then you have a very distinguished second tier title and a very distinguished first tier title, you know, because obviously they'd be very different. So I think it's pretty cool. I do. Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know what to think right now. I almost hope that they're not getting rid of the U.S. title. I think that it's nice to have they should have the world champion and then the Intercontinental champion and the U.S. champion, which could also be considered like a TV title. Then, you know, your tag and your women's title. Mm-hmm. I think that should be it. The reason why, I mean, the U.S. title's been around for so long. I would hate to see it go away again. And it's nice to have, you know, since you have the two shows, you kind of need that extra title. But the thing is, it's just become a prop opposed to anything. It's just a prop for most people now. I remember hearing someone ask Cena, what do you think of the title? Is it a prop or is it actually a championship? He goes, it's mostly a prop, which I thought was really interesting that someone would actually say that. But, you know, when you've had it 10 times, it's a prop. And
it doesn't mean anything because he's had it 10 times in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Ric Flair has held a world title like 21 times because he's not just a 16 or 17. He's 21.
Correct.
He's held a world title 21 times over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's held it quite a bit.
And he didn't hold most of those titles. He didn't hold for like a day or two. He held them for a long time. And it meant something when he actually won each one. It wasn't just like, oh, we're going to throw the strap on you. Oh, we're going to throw the strap on you. Or we're going to throw the strap on you. Kind of like what they did with Alberto Del Rio. They just kind of gave it back to him. Locked Cena out so he couldn't win the title. Once I saw that happen, I was like, yep. I knew it was going to happen. I just knew it.
Well, it makes you wonder, what was the point of him losing the title 2 weeks ago? He lost that title 14 days ago. Okay? 14 days from when he re-won it. So my question to you is, what was the point of him losing the title?
It's
storyline lies.
Storyline, there's no point. Unless they're trying to do all of a sudden say, hey, next pay-per-view, Cena's going to get it. Then they can say, hey, you never know who's going to be our champion. When that kind of makes the champion weaker.
Well, it just makes you go, like, what's going on? Because, you know, I put down in our notes, that's 7 title changes in 10 months. 7 in 10 months. And I really should have put down what's happened in the past 3 months, because in the past 3 months, it's changed hands. If I'm correct, I believe it's 5 times.
Dolph won
because,
it?
Oh, no, that was the world heavyweight.
My bad.
But CM Punk won it. And then after CM Punk, Rey Mysterio. And then John Cena. And then Alberto Del Rio, and then Cena, and then Alberto. So that's actually 6 titles. Yeah, so that's changed hands quite a few times. Quite a few times.
It's ridiculous.
In the past 3 months.
7 times.
Seriously, like, what is the point of that title? Like, I understand that, okay, that doesn't happen every year, okay? But that title is weak. That title is incredibly weak, and Alberto Del Rio should not have lost that title 2 weeks ago.
No, I completely
stupid.
Agree. And then when he shows up on Raw, of all things, it's like it's not a big deal that he's the champion because they talk about the people who want to sue the WWE or whatever. And he's one of the guys in the back and he's wearing the belt. Why aren't they talking about how he's the new WWE champion? Mm-hmm. That's the first time you see Alberto Rio is you see him back with a bunch of people with the belt on. That's it. That's ridiculous. They should have said something about that. The fact that he won it right away. Not the whole Triple H BS that's been going on there, but that should have been said right away. But, of course, they didn't.
Yeah, no, it's just basically all that happened was it was just talking about the walkout. It's talking about the fact that, oh, hey, you know what? Triple H is going to be the centerpiece of the story going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, why? Seriously?
I don't know. So Orton and Henry have squash matches, by the way, on Raw, and they're real quick, horrible matches. And Morrison is a victim, and of course they're burying him too. So he's going to go 6 feet under, unfortunately, because they don't know how to properly book, and I guarantee you that they didn't know what was going on with this show until probably 6 o'clock. Show had aired at 9.
Yeah, probably 8. Didn't know until about 8, actually.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, here's what's going on. Yeah, fans are coming in. Yeah, we already taped Superstars. We just kind of just threw those matches together. Yeah. Seriously, it's turning into WCW anymore. Usually, stuff like this should be planned out months in advance. Or not months, but at least weeks in advance. You're paying a creative team tons of money, and they're not doing anything. I seriously think that if they would just give us the wrestling for an entire month with a pay-per-view, everything changes. There would be points to each match. There wouldn't be like, oh, you just wrestled that guy for no reason. There's a reason behind each match. There always can be. Unless it's a jobber. Then you're just doing it so you make a guy look better, but... It's just ridiculous.
And you know, Orton beating Drew McIntyre, I don't have a problem with because Drew gets no pops. He has no heat. That he is a, for all intents and purposes, your former Intercontinental Champion, you know, He is nobody. He is a jobber. He will not get above an IC title, which now is useless and worthless. But John Morrison is as dead as Jim Morrison right now. He should not have had to wrestle Mark Henry. He gets pops. Don't get me wrong. He's an okay wrestler, and he is a little bit worse than Matt Hardy when it comes to mic skills, okay?
Right.
But he is still a draw. People see him, and they're like, oh, he's cool. He's unique. He has a look. He has the it factor, okay? He has all of that stuff. But they're burying him. No, don't have him do it. Like, that's stupid. Have somebody else go up against Mark Henry. Somebody that, like, geez, I don't know. I mean, who would you have go up on the Raw roster? Like, have Zack Ryder, you know? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Zack, yeah, you know, he's getting popular. But it's not like he's a high mid card, you know? I mean, he's a lower mid card right now. You know, have him go up mm-hmm. against Mark Henry and lose.
And also, I mean, you know, because Ryder took a nice pedigree after the show, you know, was off, but the crowd still popped and he didn't lose anything. When he shows back up on Raw, no one's going to think anything, you know, besides the fact that he's Zack Ryder. He has his internet show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can lose to him and no one will care.
I have an issue with that. I'm sorry. I went on a little bit of a rant there, but I wanted to ask you, Andy. So they had a 12-man tag match, 6-on-6. That lasted for like 30 minutes almost.
Yeah, it was a long time. Boring.
What was the point of that match? That they couldn't have done in smaller increments.
Like I said, they didn't plan the show out properly at all. The show itself was bad. And the fact that they didn't know what they were booking, you know, this is what happens when you don't know how to properly book. You could have had some mid-carders come out and wrestle. They didn't. They just said, let's get our top 12 guys, put them in the ring, and have a long match with like 3 commercial breaks. Okay, sounds like it's great. Guess what? It didn't work. It was boring. The entire ending segment also with Triple H was boring.
Yeah, and so. I mean, we're going to get into that for our weekly topic. We're going to really go over that because, I mean, it carried over into SmackDown, you know, because on SmackDown there's more talks about the walkout, you know, and so, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the big thing that happened on SmackDown was that Big Show returned.
The show is back.
And he is challenging Mark Henry.
I didn't see that coming.
I'm okay with this.
No,
okay.
I am too. He's back. He's going to be able to wrestle again. He's healed up some, you know, he had some, you know, certain injuries he wanted to nurse. He's back to 100%. It's going to be interesting. You know, do you give Show the title? That's the other thing, too.
Who does he feud against, though? I mean,
afterwards?
Big Show is such a unique individual that you have him in a tag team, or he feuds with Undertaker, Kane, Mark Henry. Who else?
You know what I think is going to happen? They're going to probably continue this. It'll be Show and Randy Orton and Mark Henry are all going to feud with each other all the way up to Elimination Chamber. And you know what's going to happen? Daniel Bryan said one thing. He said he's going to cash it in at WrestleMania, right? He's going to let the opponent know. What if he's the guy on Elimination Chamber that's the guy who's going to come in there, cash it, 1, 2, 3. He's guaranteed to be in the main event then. Mm-hmm. They could do that. You know, Edge did that, right? At one point.
He did something like that, but yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan does it. He could. Or does he really wait to WrestleMania? That's the thing. Like, what are they
going to wait? I think that he'll wait until then.
Do you think Mark Henry is going to be Henry versus Daniel Bryan?
No, 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 no. I think what'll end up happening is that Henry will he's going to drop the title to somebody, and I think that it's going to change hands twice. I think that they might go back to the Sheamus thing, the Sheamus feud, because they're really pushing Sheamus hard. So I could see Sheamus winning the title at like Royal Rumble or even the December TLC pay-per-view, and then have somebody win it at Elimination Chamber. You have a heel win it, for example, Christian, which would be smart, and then have Christian versus Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think that'd be good. That's not going to happen, though.
That's, well, you have to book it properly. That's the first mistake, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sheamus and Orton win squash matches again with Rhodes and Christian. You know, I don't know why Orton had to have another squash match, dude. I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, it was a tag match, you know, and they're apparently really building Orton and Rhodes for some reason. They've had a million matches, and Christian is getting squashed some more.
I think Orton and Rhodes have to be friends because there's no other reason why they're wrestling each other. Or he says, oh, he works so light in the ring. I so enjoy, you know, doing it. He sells the best for me, blah, blah, blah. That's the only thing I think that's happening.
To be honest, it's just SmackDown anymore is a recap show of Raw. And SmackDown is hard to watch.
It is. And why isn't Rhodes saying stuff about the title? Why isn't he defending the title against Randy Orton? That doesn't make sense.
Well, he shouldn't defend the IC title. Orton is above that, Andy.
I know he's above that, but it should say something about it still. Like, hey, he's the IC title, you know, whatever, holder, and he should be defending it, blah, 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 and he's not, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Let's move on to HostGator, Andy.
Are you a blogger, a podcaster, you're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator, they offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and an easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling, owned by TNA. Kaz beats Gunner, but gets reversed because Kaz won't let go.
Yeah, he held on to a submission. And, yeah. What is going on with this in wrestling, and in particular TNA, which I think is just so freaking stupid. Like, honestly, like, what is going on? Because you win the match. The match is already won. There's no, like, unwinning a match. They did this with Samoa Joe to give him negative 10 points at the Bound for Glory series. And they, like, this is stupid.
I don't know, dude. I just don't know. This is ridiculous. Why? Why? Oh, you lost the match. Well, you won it with the submission, but you're not letting go. So how can you reverse it? No, that doesn't happen. Besides, the ref doesn't know what's going on. He's like 3 seconds behind everything.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Now, Bischoff and Hardy, they have a segment together, and they have a war of words. Is this going to build to Jeff Hardy taking on Eric Bischoff at Bound for Glory?
I don't know. Hardy's in jail. So how can he really wrestle Bischoff? That's right. That's what we forgot to talk about. Jeff Hardy's in jail, by the way.
I actually, you know what? I did not know this.
Yeah, he went to jail on Monday.
Oh, that's fun. For, 10 days, right?
10 days. So he should be out in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he'll be out, you know, by the time you get done listening to this, because he'll serve only 5 days for good behavior.
Yeah, I think they said that I thought I read somewhere that he'll have to serve at least 7, and then he can get out. So basically on Sunday, there's not a pay-per-view, but if there was, he could get out by then, of course. But yeah, he decided he wanted to get over and done with, because he could have done it later, but he just checked in right away and said, hey, I'm going to serve by 7 days, because you know that's what it's going to be. So, yeah, I don't know if they're going to have a match or not, but I don't know why they would. That's the other thing, but you never know. Stranger things happen.
He'll probably get put into a match then with, you know, one of Immortal's cronies.
Yeah, yeah. So Crimson Beast Joe, .. Why?
Because they've been having this feud, and, you know, Crimson cannot lose a match, which is so freaking stupid. But he can't lose a match, and so, you know, they have to do this, which, you know, I'm almost positive. Crimson, Joe, Matt Morgan, triple threat match, Bound for Glory. Mark my words.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, when they come up with these ideas and get the show, man, if they're like, man, this is like a great show that we're putting out. I wonder if they sit around and actually think that. Both companies.
I really hope not.
So Robert Roode beats Storm in probably the match of the night, maybe the month.
This was their main event, which happened at like the hour 30 mark, because Hogan gets the very end of the show.
He's main event, Hogan, dude.
Right. But this was, I mean, it was interesting. I still have no idea why he has to wrestle everybody in Fortune. I'm confused. There was no ultimatum. Kurt Angle did not say, if you don't wrestle them to a real match, then you forfeit your chance at wrestling me at Bound for Glory. Okay, you say that. I understand it. The crowd understands it, and we're okay with it. But right now, all that he said was, if you beat him, then you're the new number one contender after Bound for Glory. Okay? Like, that's what your thing is? Like, all right, Andy, you and I are a tag team in TNA. You are the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. All right? For their World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm told I will be the new number one contender if we wrestle. I would say, you know what? You got that pay-per-view match. I'm going to be on your side. I'll go get counted out. You win. That's what I would do. I'll take the loss.
Yeah, I would that too.
Like, that just, it makes no sense. Like that, I don't know. I think it's stupid. Great match. Dumb build-up. Dumb storyline. They should have just been building him and Kurt Angle and the tension between the two. It would have made for better TV. That's my biggest problem.
Yeah.
So, Andy, I did my little rant. I'm going to let you go on a rant here because Hogan, you Andy, you would never believe this, but he Terry Funked us. All right.
Whoa.
He announced his retirement.
And Sting comes out and says, no. No one cares. Retire. I don't care. It's funny because I was reading that he has like his mansion that they did for Hogan's Knows Best. He's still trying to sell it, and he can't sell it because no one wants it. Because it's Hulk Hogan. No one wants that crappy place that him and his ex-wife made. No one wants it, and he's going to lose a ton of money on it.
No one cares about him.
Let's
talk about the retirement, though. He claims he's going to retire. Sting's like, no, you're not. You're a liar. He shows some video about him ripping the fans. And then Hogan, they say they're going to have a match. That they are going to have a match at Bound for Glory. So
Hogan needs a win here. You know why? Because he lost to Sting back in 98.
It's Starrcade 1997.
13 years ago, 14 years ago, brother, I lost to you. And I want revenge, brother.
So we really buried the lead here. And I mean, we buried the hell out of it. The weekly topic, we're talking about the walkout that happened on Raw. Because we're going to spend a lot of time on this. So every wrestler walked out on Triple H. And
all of them, remember. There were some still backstage because they didn't want them
to get booed.
You know, but Zack Ryder was out there.
He walked out on Triple H.
And then he came back and said, I believe in you. I think it's pedigreed. That wasn't on camera, though. But then the cameraman, I thought that was really interesting. The cameraman actually put the cameras down.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that actually gave, I don't want to say gave me chills, because that sounds a little stupid, but it was really great storytelling, because, you're sitting there as a fan, and then you see, the picture you see is of the camera getting put down, and it looked awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did a good job. I was really impressed, the ring announcer. Oh, the photographer left as well, which I thought was really interesting. I was so shocked about that. I was really shocked that he left. Because who's going to take the pictures? But then I realized that they had a couple people in the crowd that were taking pictures with cameras, by the way, that you don't take $4,000 cameras and then, $2,000 lenses to a WWE event usually. And you see a couple of those guys in the crowd. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting still that they took the main cameraman and out. Couldn't believe that. Yeah. I was really surprised.
Now, they say Triple H, he lost the wrestler's faith. So they are scared. And the refs, obviously, the cameraman. Because the other thing that happened is that Hell in a Cell, cameraman.
That's right. I forgot about that.
They were attacked.
Yeah, so the ones in the cell.
Yeah, so it was kind of a big deal. What did you think of this segment overall?
It was probably the best planned out segment because they're like, hey, let's do the segment. What about the matches? Who cares about the matches? Let's do the segment. It's really well written. We've been working on this for weeks. That's what I think happened. And it was done real well. I got to give them credit. I was in shock, especially when the cameraman, the photographer, the bell announcer, the guy who rings the bell, the announcers, especially when JR left, I was shocked. It was really good, and he just sat there and took it. Just sat there and took it. But the sad part is, I wouldn't be surprised if that really happened someday in real life.
I agree with you. I think it was a really great segment.
IRL, man. That's what's going to happen.
Now, there was more talk about the walkout on SmackDown that carried over. And there were some Raw stars, like Kofi and Evan Bourne, saying that they were going to stay on SmackDown until Triple H resigns.
I don't know what to think about this. It would be interesting to see if he actually resigns, because he doesn't need to be on TV. There's no point to having him on TV. It's stupid. Or is he bringing someone else in to take over? Is he bringing Mick Foley back? Because if you bring Mick Foley to take over Raw, just think about what would happen. Then you can have chair shots to the head, because apparently you can't take head bumps anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, obviously that's not a Triple H the COO thing. That's a actual wellness policy thing.
Yes, I understand.
Let's separate a little bit of fact from fiction there.
I
hear what you're saying, though.
But the thing is, there's a pay-per-view coming up, and there's no talk about the pay-per-view. No talk whatsoever, and you got to remember that next week's Raw is going to say 13 days until this pay-per-view.
Which you don't even know what it is, do you?
Actually, it's 2 weeks, isn't it? What is the next pay-per-view?
Two and a half weeks. Right. So it's 3 weeks basically. You're right. There's 3 weeks, and they are talking more about this conspiracy thing as opposed to actually making matches. You know the thing they could have done on Raw? You know what they could have done, Andy?
What's that?
They could have announced Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk for the world title at Vengeance. That's what they could have done. And then we know that the main event of that pay-per-view is going to be that match. We know that then. That wasn't talked about, Andy. You know what was talked about instead?
What was?
Triple H. Triple H, the centerpiece of the show.
Your ego has to be huge.
It has to be in the middle of everything. Of everything.
Yep. It's just, it's every time I hear his name, I just think, fail. That's all I think about anymore.
Not one match has been scheduled. And instead, I mean, the walkout thing was well done, but they could have announced matches. They could have gotten me excited and been like, you know what? $40? All right. $50? All right.
You know what this was? This was a superstar show. This was a superstar show. There's nothing that happened. Nothing important happened besides the walkout. If you have a pay-per-view that you need to promote, people aren't going to buy it if there's not going to be anything on there. If you don't know what's going to happen, no one's going to buy the pay-per-view. If you knew what was happening right now and they start promoting it properly, you would probably be interested in, like, you know what? Vengeance is going to be really good. But they're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point to this. And the thing is, after Vengeance, they're not going to talk about Survivor Series coming up afterwards, because they're going to forget about it because Triple H has to talk some more. I get so mad about this. It's just ridiculous. Just give us creative control for, like, 4 weeks with the pay-per-view. And honestly, I will make people have to watch NXT and SmackDown along with Superstars. I have to make them have to watch everything. That's the point. I don't care. I know they're separate, but I make it so you'd have to watch both of them in order to understand what's going on.
And at least have some sort of build-up, too. I mean, that's the other problem, is that there's no build-up. Like, right now they could do Cena versus Alberto. They could redo the three-way. They could do just CM Punk versus Alberto. So they could do any of those. The problem is there was no build-up to that. Instead, you had that 12-man tag match, and they're going to throw that in the vignette, this is how we're doing it. Like, I don't care. I don't. This pay-per-view, I am not. They did a better job building up Hell in a Cell than they're doing building up Vengeance.
And that doesn't say much. So what's how to fix WWE is basically what do you think? How are you going to fix WWE over the next few weeks?
Triple H should not be the main focus of every show.
Well, apparently, because Stephanie probably is like, oh, I love the fact that you're like the head guy right now. You're just doing so well and the ratings are going up and the pay-per-view buys are just going up, especially since we had three of them in a row.
And we should do one every single week. That's what we should do.
Let's do a pay-per-view every Sunday. They'll still buy it. They'll still spend the $60.
I think that's going to be it for this week for me, Andy. Yep. Blood is boiling.
That's all for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank A6 Production for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.